Hey guys, welcome back to the Undercover Nerds podcast. I'm Robert.
I'm Belle.
I'm Tammy, and today we have a special guest.
I wouldn't say special. We have a
special.
A slightly below average guest.
Damn. Well, sorry, Mac.
I don't want to go speaking in an accent.
Well, just introduce me for me. Yeah, sure. I don't want to say.
I'm joking. We have Mac with us today.
Hi.
Mac is a writer, philanthropist, and ninja.
Yeah,
most and babushka.
He's most notable for conducting the JFK assassination.
Whoa. we don't say that in public anymore. They used to pat me on the back and then,
That seems like a good segue to, we're talking about Disney today.
Yeah.
Anti-Semitism. Dog here we go.
Yep. And racism. So much racism.
Love it.
So we didn't actually have a specific thing about Disney we were going to talk about.
Just Disney overall.
Just in general.
Because if we try to make more...
We can probably span this one out for... I mean, if we get really into it, it could probably span up for an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, this episode could easily be an hour.
So we want to do two parts? Two episodes?
Or we could just do an hour.
I guess. We'll see. We'll play it by ear. So Belle.
Yes.
Not to put you on blast, but of the people here, you probably like Disney the least.
Which is kind of funny because I'm extremely well-versed in Disney. Mm-hmm. So I'm even more well-versed in Disney than I am in Bleach. And for those of you who listen to our podcast, fucking saying something.
Every podcast, Bleach comes up. I don't know that we've had a podcast where Bleach hasn't come up.
I'm sorry. I have my passions.
Mac, where do you stand with Disney?
Well, my mom used to work for Disney, so we grew up and she got the dealios, and
the
dealios. I'm gonna respectfully request that you don't say dealio on my podcast.
Wait, what did she do at Disney?
She got the Cheerios. I don't know. I really don't know to this day. All I know is that we could go for free like 7 times a year.
Oh shit, that's awesome.
And she also, we always went on Disney cruises and stuff, and so...
My husband refuses to go back to Disney.
Really?
And I've never been, so I don't know how this is going to work out.
You can go with us.
Just go one weekend.
I'll take you and the kids to Disney.
Yay!
The thing with Disney is you wait for an event, and you wait for those saps that are just like, oh no, Shelby's pregnant, we can't go to the event. Let's put our tickets up for a third of the price. And then you take those tickets and then you go.
Wait. Yeah.
Do you just take Mac, pregnant people's
wait,
Disney
don't,
tickets?
Okay, not exclusively.
The way that you, the reflection, I'm sorry, real quick. None of you can see us, but the way that Max, glasses are reflecting in the... it makes you look like you have two, bright white dots for eyes.
You look like a nun who fucked up her laundry.
And is happy about it.
It's October, Robert. It's breast cancer month.
It's not October. It's
not October. Time is relative.
All right, we're getting
Actually,
off track.
Wait,
Disney.
By the time we upload this, it might be October.
Which
Fuck.
Means...
Damn it.
Disney has their not-so-scary party thingy.
Okay, but Disney...
Disney,
like we were saying,
the conglomerate.
Tammy, how do you? What's your stance on Disney? We can't hear you. Your audio cut out. In the
silence.
I mean, I get that you're still talking. I know what you're saying, but I can't hear you.
In the meantime, Mac, sing us a little song. Well, to fill
Can you
the...
hear me now?
Yeah, never mind. Sorry. You cut. You lost your chance, kid. Yeah. What were you saying?
I just said Disney's the devil.
Oh, wow.
But I sound like it. Listen, okay, when you buy out that many fucking companies, they have bought out Fox. What the fuck? And they've bought out Marvel. They bought out whatever company had produced.
Wasn't Marvel not doing so hot though?
Huh?
Wasn't Marvel not doing that well?
Not doing what? Oh yeah, probably.
Financially.
I did watch this video talking about how because Disney owns Marvel, there's no smoking in any Marvel movie. Like, they literally have to, like, be good people through and through. Mm-hmm. Like,
they can't make it gritty, basically.
And, like, even in their real lives, like, that's why the reason that they visit, like, the hospitals for Make-A-Wish and stuff is for Disney. You know, like, they're not allowed to have any social media scandals or, you know, like, get caught being too drunk or anything. Like, they literally have to be, like, thoroughly good people, not just on screen, well, but, like, in real life.
To be fair, I don't know that a lot of them would have been doing anything particularly scandalous anyway. The only one they may have to worry about is Ryan Reynolds, and Disney agreed, like, we're not gonna touch...
He's with Fox, though.
Yeah, but
so
Disney
that's
Fox.
Not with Marvel.
But they might have, like, a shadow of different rules under
yeah.
each. I just know that's for Marvel.
They
Deadpool doesn't count.
They specifically said when they bought Fox, we're not touching Deadpool. Like, they made that abundantly clear. But I actually was wanting to talk more about their movies and not the company itself. Because there's almost no good things we could say about the company.
Well, no, that's not true. Because
there's good things to say about Disney himself, but not what the company's turned into.
I'm just kind of happy that there's not, like, it's not like a Jeff Bezos thing where, like, there's not just one person in charge. As far as we really know, I'd like to think that there's, like, a group of people in charge, which is kind of better than... You know, like, the CEO of Amazon being able to cure world hunger, like, 500 times and still be the richest person in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
The thing with Disney, though, is that because they have so many, they've brought so many different companies underneath their shadow, like, they have... I don't know, because I know that people love working at Pixar because it's such a... It's actually a really loose place. Like, you write, like, they literally want their creators to be at ease so that they can work better because they are just stuck in a cubicle
and
most of the day.
On that, like, I have noticed, like, I've kind of... It's easy to adopt a pessimistic attitude about the world and believe that, like, all of these companies are for no good and all of these actors are, like, doing no good, really, and that it's all basically, like, for no reason if you have a bunch of money, you know, like, just, like, that kind of attitude of, you know, like, no one's doing it for good. But then, you know, like, it's because you don't really hear about a lot of the artists in higher-up positions saying, you know, like, hey, I really like my job and they do very good things for me and I appreciate it and I'm... doing this art, like, someone working at Pixar or someone working for Marvel. Like, I follow, he's not very popular, but Ryan Meandering, I think is how you say his name, Meandering. But he's one of the lead designers for, you know, the costumes for Captain America and Spider-Man in the movies.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, he's so happy on his Instagram, and he's just like, yeah, they showcased all my stuff, and here's all my stuff.
Is he the one who does
all
the concept art for...
Mm-hmm.
I follow him, too.
Yeah, and it's just, like, he seems very, very happy, you know? And
yeah.
It's nice to see
that
the simplicity.
I think that they genuinely take care of their people. It's kind of like GameStop. Like, people talk shit about GameStop all the time, but, like, Keith, now that he's, you know, ever since he started working his way up, from the ground, like, you know, from GA, like, they treat their employees okay, but, like, their benefits, they take care of their employees. They want to make sure that their employees, like, with us being married, he only gets, like, $100 taken off of his, of each time he gets paid. For our insurance, and we have insurance that covers, like, dental, health, eye, like, you name it. And so I imagine, like, working for Disney, you get taken care of.
Well, I think with any company, it's
any big company like that.
Any big company.
No, it's not any big company. It really depends on the benefits that company is willing to give their employees.
Well, I think from an outside perspective, it's really easy to go after a company because a lot of people, the moment they do something that is, like, super obviously for financial gain and nothing else, it's really easy to go after people like that. But you forget, like, it's a company that the world doesn't work on charity, unfortunately. Like, you can't do something for nothing. Like for example, I know some people are probably upset. The Disney Princesses line, which I was just watching Game Theory on the, or Film Theory. The qualifications for what, for who qualifies as a Disney.
Did you see the one that, like, Moana's definitely?
Yeah, like, the people that qualify for a Disney Princess who don't, like, in the Wreck-It Ralph movie, it's based financially, like, on monetary income and other things. Like, it's based on whether they can market the dress. And, you know, it's easy to be like, oh, well, they're only making these characters to you know, sell stuff, which is true to an extent, but the characters also do genuinely have, the newer Disney princesses genuinely have positive morals for young girls. Like, is as overexposed as Frozen is, with the exception of Anna, Elsa was a strong character. Same with Moana, same with Rapunzel. They do try to incorporate those morals.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can, you know, make money off of that in the process, I can't fault them because they're a company.
Yeah.
That said, Wreck-It Ralph 2 looks really good.
It does. I'm super excited to see the princesses in 3D and, like, all in a room and stuff like that. That's fun.
Yeah. There's this, well, I guess not a scene, but a clip where, like, they're all in their pajamas and someone was like, that's super obviously, like, a commercial to sell stuff, but
yeah,
again, it's
okay.
Yeah,
so
they're a company.
If you have a company that you have these popular, you know, characters and that can sell products, why would you not sell the product?
Exactly.
Yeah. Why would you not try to advertise?
Like,
that?
Oh,
that's
cool.
Not, you know, you're running a business. I mean, yeah, you're creating entertainment and you want people to enjoy it, but in the end, you're running a business. You want to make money.
I don't know where this mentality comes from that any and not just like movies. This people in the game industry give this critique a lot where, like, everything a company does should be for the player or the viewer or blah, blah, blah. Because if that were the case, they wouldn't make enough money to keep doing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially since everyone has a different point of view on stuff.
Yeah.
Plus,
like, if they can make a little girl happy by selling her a princess dress, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I totally, I think that shirt that Elsa was wearing was really cute.
The Just Let It Go one?
Just Let It Go, yeah, It's cute. I mean, it's simple too. It's not, you know, cheesy.
If they haven't, they're probably going to start selling them once the movie comes out, because all of the princesses were wearing pajamas. Switching
or
to
they'll get pajama princess dolls.
I loved that scene though, where, like, Merida starts talking, and she's like, "Well, my mom put into a bear," and there's like.
Mm-hmm.
What? And he's like,
I'm really glad.
It? Someone leaned over and they're like, we don't understand what she's saying. She's from the other company. I mean, from the other studio. Just
I'm really glad that they included Merida in Wreck-It Ralph 2. However, I don't like that they redesigned her in the first place. And I guess it's inevitable because they did redesign her. I don't like that it's her redesign that they're using, because she was fine how she was before and they changed her design to be quote-unquote more princess-like, but that was like the whole point of her character, is that she wasn't a traditional princess. But it's whatever. So switching gears a little bit, the obvious question would be a favorite Disney movies.
Y'all shouldn't have let. I'm actually thinking about it now. Y'all shouldn't have let me onto this episode.
My favorite has to be. Are we talking about, like, Disney as a whole?
We'll say.
Should we just stick to the animated movies? Like the traditional Disney movies.
I can't even think of one.
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that.
I don't think any of us would have chosen a live action or CG movie anyway.
Mm. Yeah.
Pete's Dragon.
Probably Atlantis or honestly, Mulan or Princess and the Frog.
So of those three.
I don't know. Those are three. I don't know. It's hard for me because I'm trying to think of which one. Oh, I love Lilo and Stitch too.
Oh my god. Okay, when it, like favorite Disney movies, like you can pick a handful.
Yeah.
I guess. I think that's
three. Top three.
Like, top three.
Okay.
What about you?
Well,
Hunchback of Notre Dame, hands down, is my ultimate favorite. Right. Atlantis is probably my second favorite. Third.
I would like to my sound go out or
third favorite Disney movie. I don't know. I also
Is it the one with that one princess?
Yeah, that one. probably like I don't know. I seriously don't know what my third favorite would be. Cause Hunchback and Atlantis are kind of just like
Get out.
I just want to
None of the sequels. Well, maybe Lion King 2.
I do love Lion King 2.
Why? Thing that they made of Timon and Pumbaa.
I liked one and a half. One and a half was good.
I didn't like that.
But real quick, Tammy and Belle, why do you guys like Lion King 2? Just curious.
Oh, no.
It's not like I know the answer. But if you guys had to pick a reason for why you like that movie.
I mean, it's certainly not because Kova's voice is sexy or anything like
that. Not gross.
Definitely not.
Disgusting.
Yeah. No, in perfect seriousness, I absolutely love Zira. I love Zira.
I honestly really liked the music.
The music is good, and it's Wells, it's decent. And
sing a tune. One of
He's
tune
not, from the movie. But not one of us is like one of. It's my favorite one.
I can't remember.
Inception.
Yeah, don't.
Disgrace.
Mac, top three Disney movies.
Treasure Planet.
Yeah, thank you. Someone says the right answer. God.
Did you say Treasure Planet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then there's one that's like way out left field. I forgot what it was though. It's just not one that you like watch a lot, but it's great.
Okay.
What the? Is it just this is a shot in the dark? But are you perhaps talking about Black Cauldron?
No. I don't know what that is.
Oh.
That's supposedly the worst Disney movie that's come out. Animated-wise.
It was not well-received, but the movie itself is not bad.
No, it's not bad, but it was known as the one that bombed the worst.
Well, it was too dark for kids, because it dealt heavily with death.
Yeah, it ultimately, like, it almost toppled the Disney franchise by itself.
Yeah.
Like, at the time.
It's why Disney pretends it doesn't exist.
Yeah. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are definitely bad parts about the movie, but...
But it's still a good movie.
In my opinion, there are worse Disney movies than Black Cauldron.
And it's a shame that they pretend it doesn't exist because it has its merit.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, anyway, we cut you off.
Sorry.
Peter Pan 2.
Okay.
Because of that one sad ass song, London's getting bombed and everything.
Okay.
And
That's so sad.
I grew up with that one.
I grew up with that soundtrack.
I'm super salty about the Disney version of Peter Pan because I grew up on the original book and I grew up on a
recording.
Yeah, I grew up on a recording of the play, which is basically the book except slightly less dark.
Yeah.
I grew up on the Disney version too, but the Disney version, even when I was growing up, never felt like Peter Pan for real. It just felt like a fairy story.
Well, if you're gonna say that about that, you need to say that about every Disney movie.
I can't say that because I grew like more. Peter Pan was more so super close to my heart.
The Starcatchers. Did you like the Starcatchers?
Really like that. And then when the Pixie Hollow, like all the Tinkerbell movies came out, I really have like everybody likes them, but I can't bring myself to like them because they utterly destroy what Tink was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like utterly destroy it, and I'm just like,
girl. Then don't watch Hunchback of Notre Dame because it's not the same.
They still
thing
have
the
sexual.
Book.
They still have sexual assault. But the only reason I'm saying it specifically for
wow,
Peter Pan.
Wow, they still have sexual assault. That's the one. That's the one basically. Common thing that they have. I mean, oh, and the Hunchback.
Okay, listen. The reason I bring up Peter Pan, I have a valid reason for bringing up why I'm salty about Peter Pan, is because I have an emotional connection with the original Peter Pan, and I grew up with that version. And like I said, I grew up with the Disney version too, but like, I don't know, I just had such a love for the original story that Disney kind of just like, I felt a certain way about the Disney version, and that... And then it kind of grew even stronger when the Tinkerbell movies came out, and I was like, okay. And I mean, once again...
I thought the Tinkerbell movies were really, really creative.
I never got to watch them. I just
I
saw
think,
the
I think they made more than they needed to.
Wait, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Probably.
It's not Harry Potter,
dude. I haven't watched all of them.
There
they
were,
made so
There
many.
Were at least five.
Because it's like a pirate one, and then like... The terrorists to Pixie Hollow
the terrorists.
One, and then like
well because they had like they had the first two and then everything else was just like some kind of theme
and then lots You're of them nice were princess. Like yeah. lots of them were like Tinkerbell and this when it was like Tinkerbell wasn't even like the main character in that story
which
like,
one was the one where she found
her sister oh yeah that one I was like okay no seriously even in the original Peter Pan like the one that came out in like I think the 50s it like, even then, I was like, it's not really Tinkerbell or Peter Pan. Even when I was little, like, this is a distinction I made when I was young. And once again, I understand, Disney does its thing, it takes content from the original stories, and it makes it new, it makes it its own thing, it doesn't ever
stick. They adapt it.
Yeah, they always adapt it, and they never truly stick to the original source material. But it's just, for me, it's just a personal thing, it's... purely on me, I just because I have such a love for the original story, I can't get into anything Peter Pan-ish or Tinkerbell-ish that Disney makes just because of that. But that's, once again, that's just me. That's just my own personal thing.
Now, are you guys ready for the proper top three Disney movie list?
I didn't give a third one, you bitch.
Oh, what's your third one?
Go ahead, Mac.
I don't know.
Oh, dude, I love that movie.
Probably, I hate to say it, but probably Inside Out because it was just so messed up. You know, like, one of my favorite things in it was just, you know, like, what are your worlds?
You know? Yeah, I always wanted to know
that
too.
That was one of the saddest things that I could think of for that movie, especially in the place I was when I watched it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, damn, like, Depression Land, you know?
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Depression
yeah,
Land.
Yeah, no, it was a really good depiction of, like, human emotions. Yeah.
Can you imagine Anxiety Land? Oh, fucking...
Just, like, a bunch of rides. Just, like, this is dude. Do they like you? You don't know.
No!
A bunch of mirrors.
Like, you hate yourself!
Just a roller coaster, but like you don't see anything on the roller coaster. It's a mirror, and like the mirror adds
You're
stuff onto your
so
face.
You're so awkward.
And then like whispers, like little speakers of whispers, just like, do they even really like you?
Anxiety Land is probably our college that I won't name.
They honestly did the right choice in making the main character a young girl instead of a teenager or a college student. Because oh boy.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. All right, so how the list should have gone for you guys. Number one, Treasure Planet.
Wrong.
Number one, Treasure Planet. Number two, Treasure Planet. No, all right.
Oh my God.
In all seriousness, my first pick is definitely Treasure Planet. I've loved that movie since I saw it in theaters.
The toys were great.
The toys were awesome. I think Jim was like such a cool character. Like, I literally left the theater, and I wanted to go home and make a Solar Surfer. Like, I was in love with that movie.
I put a hoverboard on my Christmas list every single year until I was, like, 15
yeah,
because
it was,
of that movie.
He was a good character. The theme song for the movie was great. The dynamic between him and Silver was fucking heartwarming.
The fucking captain.
Everything about that. I love
then,
everything about
was
that
it
movie.
Merp?
Morph. Oh,
yeah.
The even like
he
even,
was like he's like one of the very few not annoying like side creature characters.
Even the part of the movie that everyone hates, the robot dude who I can't remember his name, but I didn't particularly hate him as a kid either. Like he was
well utilized as an annoying character.
Yeah, he was supposed to be irritable because Jim was irritated by him, but he I'm probably really biased, but I don't even particularly hate him.
But the thing is, though, is that it was a necessary character. He's supposed to be the hermit.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't take him away, because that's... But at the same time, I was like, even as a kid, I was like...
I think for what he was supposed to be, he did a good job.
Yeah.
I'll
give him that.
My number two pick, Goofy Movie.
Oh, those are cute.
Those are cute, yeah.
Goofy Movie, in They're hindsight, sweet. Is really sad.
It actually is, yeah. Especially when Max goes off to college, because it's like, oh, no, man.
Extremely Goofy Movie isn't as sad. But the original Goofy Movie is fucking heartbreaking.
Like, I don't think I've seen
he's
it.
I don't think I've seen the original.
Is he a widowed father?
Yes.
Oh,
the original is when they go on the road trip, and like, he's a widow, he loses his job. His son hates him,
mm-hmm.
And like, everything possibly goes wrong, and Goofy's just trying to be a good dad. But in spite of all that stuff, it is still a really fun movie. It has great music by Tevin Campbell, I think. Like, they wanted to get Prince or Michael Jackson, but that, or like, the power line was based on Prince and Michael Jackson, but Tevin Campbell did an amazing job with the vocals for it. And it's a movie starring Goofy. How can you not like Goofy?
Even
though Max is a dick. Like, he's a dick.
Yeah. He's young, but he's still a dick. Like, you could be a young teenager without being a dick.
That was kind of when teenagers were just like, I feel like Disney
fuck
was
you.
Just like, ah, fuck teenagers, assholes. That's what I was like when I was a teenager. That's what I'm like that.
Yeah, teenagers are
even when he went to college, though, he was still a little shit. I was like, dude, you still act like... I mean, to be fair, like, he literally just got out of high school,
but he didn't learn shit from the last movie.
Were you an asshole?
Well, the thing, when he was in college, he was like, he just got out of high school and he was looking forward to having freedom, and then his dad comes to college with him. I understand it more in that movie than I did in the first one. In the first movie, he really didn't have a huge reason for hating Goofy as much as he did. He was just trying to be a good dad.
Yeah, no, in Extremely Goofy Movie, it's like, yeah, what? I would be like, Dad, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, what the fuck? Especially as a freshman.
Hovering. But then again, you can also make an argument for Goofy, because it's not like he's an empty nester, one. And two, you know, like, Goofy's playing both roles. He's like two parents in one.
Yeah.
And so, like,
but
it's hard
also,
for him to let go.
Until the end of the movie,
he has to come because he had to get a degree as well.
Huh?
Didn't he come because he had to get a college degree?
He had to get a degree so he can get a new job.
Yeah, it was literally something he couldn't help. It's like, motherfucker, he's going there so that he can put food on the table for you, stupid bitch.
A lot of people miss this, but Extremely Goofy Movie accurately captured college in one scene, because Goofy sits down to take his first test, and the first answer is, what is the meaning of the universe? And then my third favorite movie is probably Lion King. That's based purely on nostalgia. Lion King, I have watched more times than I can count.
It's good.
It is also like, Lion King is like the first song I did for karaoke. I don't remember which song it was. I also just like Hamlet and Lion King.
I was about to say, thank you, Shakespeare.
Yeah. I can't think of many bad things about Lion King. I like all the characters. Timon and Pumbaa are hilarious.
Hyenas are...
They're precious.
Oh, yeah, and then there's that one argument for, like, Scar wasn't a bad guy. He just, like, he wants to feed everyone with his, you know, like, he employs special needs, like, employees, and he just thinks, you know, like, that the food chain should be differently and that certain people should be respected more, and ultimately he fails, yeah, but was that under his control? Yeah.
And the thing is, like, the one thing that I don't like about what they did is, like, they literally made the weather fail. Like, all things that would have been entirely out of Scar's control went wrong, but they still blamed him for it anyway. And it was literally, like, a drought. He didn't cause a drought.
Shut up, trash.
Shut up, trash.
he was set up for failure.
His name's trash.
I think Scar's motives were, like, his original motives were probably good.
It's more so how he went about them.
He went about it horribly.
A little bit of a dick.
Well, it's not even just that,
well,
but, like, when it happened, okay, you as a leader of this pack, not only have to, like, they need to, if they don't have food, in that area, they have to relocate. And he was not doing anything. He was just taking food and right. just sitting on his ass.
Yeah.
That's I forgot. That's right. He was like Sabari
he was pretty much like he was letting his people starve. That was why he was villainous, because
also once the fact he killed Simba's dad, made him think it was his fault. Psychologically scar Simba.
But I'm also thinking, okay, that's a lot of lionesses. And you're not gonna just... Oh, wait, no, it was because the hyenas were there. That's right.
But the lioness, they're the hunters.
Damn, that is not where I thought you were going with that at all.
What?
Yeah.
You were saying there's a lot of lionesses, and I was like, where are you going with this? He has a kid.
No.
Let's make more kids.
No, I was like, why didn't they just kill him if he was so bad? And then I was like, wait a minute, that's right, the hyenas... were a threat.
Yeah.
The hyenas were really fun in that movie too.
Yeah.
They're one of my favorite parts of that movie.
I liked the hyenas. And I'll like for a weirdly unpopular opinion, I really do not like Timon and Pumbaa. I dislike them.
Why?
They're annoying and like...
Can you imagine the movie without them though?
Yes. I would prefer the movie without them.
Had they not been there.
I don't think it's...
Because then they didn't have them doing Hakuna Matata.
Yeah. But it's more so just like... It's kind of like... what's his name in Treasure Planet? Like, you kind of have to have them there. Like, they're part of my main plot of the story. They can't not exist.
To Simba's ironic growth. Like, you know, like, Simba wanders off, and then, you know, like, he dies for a bit. But then, you know, like, maybe some happy bird is just like, here, I saved you under a bush. Yeah. Goodbye. Yeah, and then Simba's just like, oh, I can eat bugs and dance.
They're kind of
like, great.
They're back and like, they're kind of up and down. Because on the one hand, they save Simba's life. But on the other, they're the reason he was so hesitant to go back in the first place.
Yeah, they raise him to be super self-centered.
But I also think they did that because Timon saw, like, this kid is, like, broken, and if he keeps worrying about the stuff, he is never going to stop being broken. I need to tell him it's okay to
I don't remember if he ever even told them that he was royalty.
No,
I don't think he did. I don't think it was important. Like, Timon, like, it's weird saying this, but Timon was a good father figure. He saw that this kid was suffering and kind of stepped... He didn't need to. Like, if you watch Lion King 1.5, Timon, like, traditionally only really cares about himself. He had no reason to want to help Simba. He had no reason to want to be friends with Pumbaa. But he was like, this kid needs our help, so we should help him.
Yeah,
I don't know. Once I'm super back and forth on it. I just, like... It's more so just like I can't get rid of my distaste for them as characters.
It's ironic because, like, I know you said you don't like Lion King 1.5, but that movie is the reason I like Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah,
I watched that movie and I thought it was
also a cool concept, especially for when it came out. You know, like, who else was doing that?
It also has like the catchiest song.
Oh no! Don't sing it! Don't sing it! Don't sing it! It'll be on my head all fucking day.
I do know that.
So next week on Undercover Nerds.
And also for bonus points, I really like Wreck-It Ralph. I know I said that earlier, but I think that movie is so fun.
I think
Wreck-It Ralph is super creative. It's not like my... Once again, like, there are so many movies, so obviously, like, I can't absolutely adore all of them, but I really do like Wreck-It Ralph. I thought it was super creative.
Thinking about it now, I feel like the Pixel movie is Wreck-It Ralph by another shitty remake.
What?
I feel like the Pixel... No, not the Pixel movie. The Emoji movie. Is kind of, like, trying to do it Wreck-It Ralph.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see where you're going with
that. I feel like a lot of people are trying to copy Wreck-It Ralph because it was super creative. Like,
but the thing was, like, the creativity was just centered around, like, a really good story. Like,
It was ultimate... It was great characters, other than the lie revealed part, which I'm never a fan of that part kind of plot, is the lie revealed story. But, it was super creative. The characters were, all of them were
the
really
casting
fun.
Was really great.
The casting was fantastic. Yeah. The villain was super unexpected, and I loved that. And they made him insanely creepy.
Yeah.
Like, His design and his voice and his behavior was so fucking creepy. Yeah. And just like, it just like the way that they went about with the story, the way that they went about with the world, it was all like, there were really no loopholes.
Yeah.
Which and is like, something I like about it.
Really quick. Rather than, because we're so thick in it, rather than stop and start recording a new episode, we're just going to go ahead and stretch this one out to an hour, which, you know, we haven't done before.
It's Disney.
Yeah, I think it's justified with this topic.
And we're probably going to do it with our next topic, too, so. Yeah.
What was I going to say? So, this kind of ties in with the stuff that's going on with James Gunn. And if you guys saw the game thing, Jesus, the game theory video, you may know what I'm referring to, but with Disney's apparent policy with who they decide to fire and who they keep on in the company, MatPat pointed out, don't be surprised if Vanellope's voice actors change, because Sarah Silverman, when she was like start doing comedy, she was way more raunchy and I'd say arguably more offensive than James Gunn was.
Murphy's first stand up.
Yeah.
Trannies.
Yeah, and like babies. she's also like apologized for it, but like it just seems hypocritical for them to go after James Gunn when Sarah Silverman's also like
Con.
Yeah, she shouldn't have to. She shouldn't have to. There should be a statute of limitations when it comes to comedy and even things you say on the internet.
And it's her own stand-up. It has nothing to do with fucking Disney.
Well, like, on her stand-up and on the Sarah Silverman program, like, she even, I think she said she wanted to be the first comedian to make a joke about Martin Luther King or something like that. She was very raunchy.
Okay, then make the joke. Exactly. It's fucking comedy. Like,
I don't know, it's
comedy
just...
Comedy is, like, almost always raunchy.
Yeah.
One way or another.
It's always... It's gonna offend somebody.
When you think about, like, comedians, like Mark Twain was a very successful comedian. There's definitely a mood now where it's just like, if it's safe, is it funny?
Exactly. You can't...
But at the same time, it is possible for it to be...
Man, I want to take you seriously, but you're wearing a pink blanket as a cape right now. God damn it.
no, seriously, in my opinion, like, to me, it's really, like, it's very difficult to have clean humor that is as funny as raunchy humor.
Well, here's the thing is, like, even with the stuff James Gunn said, with anything any comedian says, you can tell if the intent is to hurt.
Yeah.
If the intent is satire or to cope or whatever, you can tell there is a difference, especially if you ingest a lot of comedy like I do. There's a very clear distinction in how they word it and how it's presented, whether it's mm-hmm. intended to be comedy and when it's intended to hurt. What are you doing in my kitchen? What's happening right now?
What's going on?
I'm gonna try and give a play-by-play to not sidetrack from Disney. Mac is in my kitchen wearing a pink blanket as a cape pouring cereal, and Belle crab walked over to him and is now currently squatting, getting a red plastic cup from the cabinet, and I think pouring cereal in said plastic cup. Mac is now opening the fridge and retrieving milk. Belle is still squatting. He's still wearing the cape. He is now beating on the cereal Tupperware like it's a bongo. There's so much happening right now. Belle's now playing the container like it's a bongo. They're recreating the scene from Tarzan.
I was about to say, like, they're gonna... Da-da-da-da-da.
Belle just nay-nayed.
Oh my god, please. Stop.
Why don't you guys just get bowls? I have bowls. Why are you using cups? I have paper bowls.
We're white trash, Robert.
I have paper bowls. Why are you using cups?
Because I'm
Batman. Batman wouldn't use a cup.
You don't know.
He's a billionaire. He has bowls.
You don't know our
pay. Oh my goodness.
I wish I was there so I could do something equally ridiculous.
Why?
Honestly, it would probably be more difficult if you were here because you'd try to stop us.
Mm-hmm. Mac, you look like Captain Underpants.
What about Rihanna?
Now you look like Captain Underpants, but with your feet on my counter.
What about now?
What's happening right now?
Oh, gosh. Anywho. We are still recording.
We are still recording. We are still very much recording. We're gonna. You know, I had a topic I wanted to switch to, and it left. It's gone. That train of thought crashed.
And burned.
Everyone died.
Everybody.
Was it a hot topic?
Oh my goodness. I'm upset that you just said that.
I do want to talk about, just real quick, my favorite scene, and this is why I love Lilo and Stitch, not because, honestly, like, all the alien shit I could care less about, honestly, but Lilo and Nani's relationship as sisters, I hated it when people were like, oh my gosh, like, Frozen was the first movie about sisterhood and not focusing on the romance is the main, and I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
It super wasn't.
Like, it was not, yeah. And because Lilo and Stitch, honestly, they were more like sisters than Anna and Elsa ever were.
It's because mm-hmm. Anna was dumb.
Yeah, like, and being like the eldest sister, like, because I have a younger brother, being the eldest and like watching Lilo and Stitch and putting myself in Nani's shoes, honestly, like, it's such a good depiction of how when you have that big of an age gap between you and your youngest sibling, and like, if you're like me, where I pretty much had to help raise my brother because of my culture, like, it's hard. It's sometimes, and you know, you like, you are an adult, but you're still not their parent. Mm-hmm. So like, sometimes and I felt for Nani so much. Like, I thought she was a really, really great character. Like, my favorite scene of all time on all of Disney, honestly, still to this day, my favorite scene is the part where she knows that she's going to have to give Lilo up to child services, and she's sitting in the hammock, and Lilo comes up, and sad. She's just like, you know, don't worry, you know, you're gonna find a job. Like, she's like, the little sister is trying to, you know, cheer her big sister up. And this moment, what makes it so impactful is that there's no music. All you hear is the wind and like just them, and it puts you in that space, because it makes it real to you. There's no music, there's no nothing. And, you know, Stitch comes up and he sees them having this moment, and even he feels like he can't intervene because, and then Nani starts singing, and that's when I just start bawling. Every single time.
Thinking about it, she starts want to cry right now.
The Lilo and Stitch franchise, like, the first movie is obviously praised, but I didn't think the sequels were bad. Except for Leroy. I don't want to talk about that one. But
Leroy was good in the show.
But Stitch has a glitch in the Stitch movie and the show itself. Like, they're all really good. I love the Stitch one because, like, the Stitch has a glitch movie. Because, like, it's... Stitch, like, has to struggle with, like...
Sorry, you go.
Like, the whole movie's, like, you know, Lilo makes him this chart of, like, goodness the bad meter, because, like, he's kind of tweaking out because of, you know, XYZ reason. But, like, Stitch is, like, going through the whole movie. He's like, man, I thought I was good. I thought I, like... was done being a bad alien. And like, you slowly, like, you watch him like build up this good meter by doing good deeds, and Lilo colors in the chart, and then like something happens, I forget what it is specifically, but he like glitches out again, and like she brings it back down to zero.
I think he scratched someone.
Yeah, I think he scratched Nani or something like that, and like he's really the ugly duckling, and he kind of like, you watch Stitch like kind of, he feels unwanted and unloved, and like he runs away, and it's really sad.
I literally made one of those charts for myself. Because like, I felt like the same, and then I felt that moment akin to in Shrek, where I forget the exact scene, but Donkey gets really, really sad and feels like unwanted and everything. And I think it's like the time that Shrek's just like, you're my ass. And he like, it's like, I don't remember the exact scene, but Donkey just feels really bad. And I was just like, that's me. Nobody wants him. He was just being himself. And so, yeah.
Shrek is such a good movie. I know it's not Disney, but yeah. Man, Shrek is a good movie.
And the second one is fucking like...
Dude, alright.
It's the best.
We'll have to... I don't want to get on a tangent about Shrek 2, because I could talk about that for a while.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
I love that soundtrack.
I still love My Beloved Monster, which is from 1, I think. The raspy voice, My Beloved Monster and Me.
Yeah. It's a little unfortunate that Disney's, with the exception of, you know, a few shows, you know, Lilo and Stitch, Kim Possible, and I'm talking strictly about their animated TV shows, mm-hmm. a lot of them lately especially kind of seem to fall short.
Uh-huh.
The only ones recently that, like, and I say recently with a grain of salt because I'm including Phineas and Ferb in this, but... After that, I think Star vs. the Forces of Evil.
I was about to say.
That one is actually really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't want to watch it because the girl looks really obnoxious.
Well, she's supposed to be a parody of Sailor Moon. And Marco was he was based originally on a kid who's like really into karate and Dragon Ball Z. But the show is so good because, I forget her name, but the creator, she's been working on the idea since she was in college. And she obviously had to tweak some stuff to get it on Disney, but it's something that, like, clearly has had a lot of love and thought put into it. It's been, like, she's been working on it for literally years. The animation's really fun. Initially, the characters are, you know, Star is, she's dense. But as the show goes on, they do what Steven Universe and Adventure Time and other really good kid shows have done, where they slowly introduce more serious topics. Star, like, the show even, like, they don't acknowledge it as this, but they low-key deal with the concept of death in a very real way, and kind of, if I were a kid, a scary way, like blacked out eyes and shit like that.
Wow.
And this is
what about Gravity Falls?
Gravity Falls too. I don't know what to think about that one. Gravity Falls is another one where, like, Gravity Falls was more upfront about it.
Yeah.
But Star, I think, does a good job of, like, they very slowly transitioned from Monster of the Week style, magical girl, karate, blah blah blah, to the stuff that's happening in the show now is, like, their kingdom is in ruins, Star has lost her powers, they don't know where her mom is or even if she's alive. Like, there's a lot of stuff that is going on in the show that, you know, you wouldn't expect from some of the other stuff that Disney is putting on right now.
Yeah.
Mac.
What?
If someone were to walk in my house right now, they'd be like, why are Belle and Robert sitting next to this homeless person?
Excuse me, I have a haircut.
It's not the haircut. It's the sweatpants and the blanket cape and the fact that you were eating cereal out of a cup.
First...
Hey, I've eaten cereal out of a cup.
Excuse me. I'm homeless too.
These are joggers.
That means feed me.
Alright.
I almost wear jeans over here, and then I was like, no. I can wear regular clothes around Robert. I won't get petite. Everybody watch out for Mr. Fashionista. If you're not wearing my fucking clothes that have price tags on from Hot Topic.
Nothing I'm wearing right now is from Hot Topic.
Of course you know. Of course you remember where you get all of your clothes.
So, I know we weren't gonna... Well, I don't know if we weren't gonna go to this, but I wanted to talk about the live-action Disney movies for a little bit.
Okay, list
specifically, like, I want to talk about Mulan and the casting that they're doing right now. Because it came up the other day in a JK News video, and they were asking, like, what's the controversy about it? And the casting seems good so far. I know, Tammy, you said you were somewhat familiar with the actress from Mulan, and you weren't super confident in her.
No.
But for Shang, they casted a... Forgetting his name, but Freddie...
They actually casted Shang because they said that they were going to leave Shang out initially.
Freddie Wong's younger brother.
Huh?
Freddie Wong's younger brother.
Oh.
Yeah, he's going to be Shang.
I just know that the movie is already 100% wrong because Eddie Murphy isn't voicing Mushu.
Oh, yeah.
Is Mushu even going to be in the movie?
Exactly. He's not. And
that was a lot of the movie.
I know. And that makes me so angry. Very clever. He
creates most of the problems in the movie.
Yeah, and it's like it's a catalyst device.
But he's also the one who gives Mulan the courage to do a lot of things.
Mushu's in her low moments too. Yeah, Mushu's definitely a catalyst, both good and bad ways.
Yeah, and you do both of those. And so, you know, I just hope it's not like Final Destination.
I would rather it be different from the animated film than be like the other ones and just a live action adaptation of. And I'm saying that fully knowing that Veronica's gonna hear this. I sound like a hypocrite because I fully intend to watch the Lion King movie, and it may be exactly the stars. Yeah, I want to see it for the cast. It may be exactly the same as the original, just live action. I'm going for the cast, but
how did you guys feel about Beauty and the Beast? I didn't see it. Beauty and the Beast is horrible. I know a lot of people.
It's not horrible.
Make it.
What is it?
It's Beauty,
the live action Beauty and the Beast.
I don't think it's horrible. I do.
Very forced.
Yeah, I do feel like they. I love Emma Watson, but
she was not
a good pick for Belle.
I like when they explore stuff that they haven't done. It's why people responded well to Maleficent, because it's not something we've seen before.
See, the thing is I didn't like Maleficent. I mean, like, I liked it as a movie, like, as a standalone movie by itself, but I just kind of pretended through the whole thing that I wasn't watching something that was related to Sleeping Beauty. I just kind of pretended that I was watching something by itself, because I don't like the fact that they were humanizing Maleficent.
I didn't see Sleeping Beauty before I saw Maleficent, so I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't associate.
It's Maleficent, once again, Maleficent is it has its flaws, for sure. Like, Maleficent for sure has its flaws, but to me, it's just so separate from the original Sleeping Beauty. And the biggest problem I have with it actually isn't Maleficent herself. It's the fairies. They fucking insulted the fairies in the live action movie. That is my biggest problem with Maleficent. Like, once again, yeah,
they were just silly, weren't they?
They were stupid, and they were absolute fucking morons. Whereas in the original Sleeping Beauty, they're kind, they're super resourceful. All they want to do is help. Like, they don't even have to. They're fucking fairies. They do not have to do what they're doing, but they do it. They spend 16 years of their immortal lives completely without magic, purely because they want to help out this princess.
Yeah.
That literally the only reason why.
I mean, like I said, I'm one of those people, I've said this before, I'm not very difficult to please, but I think, shut up. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing it exactly like the original, just like I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, Disney trying out new stuff. Making the fairies stupid, I have a problem with. But yeah. I think, like,
that was,
you know,
more so, that was an insulting
thing. Yeah, if you're going to do something related to Sleeping Beauty or Beauty and the Beast, or really...
Don't get rid of what's good.
Well, here's the thing is, I don't think there's anything wrong with changing things up a bit, because they're really old films. They were made by people with different mindsets when the world was different. I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, trying to update it and change some
stuff. There's an argument to that, in that, like, as far as the story goes, you know, you can go back within, say, plays, and they call certain plays modernist plays,
mm-hmm.
because they will always be relevant, and they will always be modern. And so... While most of Grimm's fairy tales were written to, if you notice, keep people inside, like, scare kids into staying inside, like Hansel and Gretel.
Most of them, honestly.
Yeah, like, The Little Mermaid ended horribly. Like, didn't she get her legs cut off?
Yeah, well, the thing is,
she's human, like, whenever she walks on land, it feels as though she's being stabbed by knives.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times where, like, Disney certain, like, not to bring it back to this, but there's that scene in the Wreck-It Ralph 2 trailer where she's talking to the princesses, and they seem to act like their movies are, like, always going to be modern. Like, they have that whole thing where they're like, do you assume that you know, all your problems were solved because a man saved you. And Matt had pointed out that, like, a lot of the princesses were. Yeah. Ariel didn't do shit.
No.
Ariel didn't do shit. Sleeping Beauty didn't do shit. And, like, they said that to make it seem like, oh, like, all these women are strong and independent. No, some of them were made at a time where, like, females were depicted as not that. Don't act like the movies are all super modern. That's why I say it's perfectly fine to want to change some things. It's just a matter of like, what to change.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that, like, these things were, like, once again, doing live action versions of things that's exciting. You always want to know what they're gonna change, what they are gonna do. Like, nobody would want to see any of these movies if it was literally the exact same thing, just live action. I mean, once again, I think Lion King, I doubt that they'll change much. I just feel like they won't change much. But, like, it's just like you can almost kind of feel like, what are they going to do with the live action Lion King anyway?
Lion King, I think, is a tricky one because I think either way, whether they change or not, no one's going to be satisfied.
I think
someone's going to be...
Because the original is so epic and it was basically the Frozen of its time.
Yeah.
So
that's
people
said Frozen was the new Lion King.
People are either going to complain that it was the exact same, or they're going to complain that they changed too much. So I think whatever they do,
you can't go right with Lion King, basically. And but with the other movies, it's like, yeah, you look forward to those changes, but I don't know. Lots of times, I just like to, just for me, once again, this is like one of those me personally kind of things. Like, I like to mentally separate these movies from the original Disney film because I just enjoy them so much better. Yeah. Like, I pretended Maleficent wasn't attached to the Sleeping Beauty movie because I just enjoyed it so much better pretending that it was a standalone movie.
I personally like to view them as parallel timelines.
That's actually a good idea. Yeah. Because, like, once again, like, I loved the original Maleficent as a villain so much that I just kind of was, like, uncomfortable with them changing her and making her super sympathetic.
She was, and, yeah, honestly, like, that was the complaint that I had with her, too, was that, because I love, let me say this, I love Angelina Jolie, she helped, and she was the producer of that movie, and as well as, like, you know, the main actress, but, like, I like that they gave her this backstory, and I would have loved it if they kept her backstory, but kept her as a villain too, because
that would have made more sense.
It would have made more sense. And also, like, it didn't give her that epic death that she got in the original movies. Also, they made her just going back to Kingdom Hearts real quick.
Yeah.
They made her the fucking main head bitch in fucking Kingdom Hearts. Like, she's the boss of all of the villains. She's the shit starter.
In the first game, they don't do a good job of keeping her in that position.
No, but I mean, like, in the first game, like, there's a reason that she is head bitch.
Oh, yeah. One of the best... She's, like, a perfect example of a villain who was 100% evil, but is still wonderfully entertaining, because so many villains that go, like, they're just evil route, just end up to be so boring. But Maleficent is, like, one of the few villains I can think of where they do great, making her so simple but so lovable as a villain.
Tammy, do you want to... Yeah. This is probably going to upset you, and blame Tetsuya Nomura. But, and before I say this, I'll say this. You guys probably know by this point, I love Kingdom Hearts. It is my favorite game series, but I'll be the first to admit, it is not well written.
It's all over the place.
So it seems to be implied that one of the reasons Maleficent was head bitch in the first Kingdom Hearts is because she had a book of prophecy.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it was needed. There's a lot of stuff in Unchained that complicates things, but we're not talking about that. I don't think our listeners would appreciate a fifth Kingdom Hearts episode.
No.
Also, I remember this meme, and it was just like when, like, there's like one wish for the baby Aurora and Maleficent, and I think it's just like, we wish for her to have buff ass baby arms. And, like, she just, like, punches the living shit out of Maleficent.
Oh my god.
And then it's just, like, produced by it. And it's over.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
I need to find that.
All right. We are actually coming up on the hour mark.
No, we're not.
Do you? What do you mean? No, we're not. The time's right here. That blanket's covering your ears.
I'm sorry. Like, just completely not Disney related, but I love all the John McCain memes that are coming out right now.
All right. Unless you guys have any closing remarks, I think that's going to be an episode.
Hashtag Evolution is the best Disney movie I've made.
I mean, that's wrong, but you pronounced Treasure Planet incorrectly.
There's also this song, and they're like getting ready to like the song, and they're doing all their like ad libs at the beginning, and like yeah, and it's just like bitches get stitches. Shout out to Lilo. And
all right, but there's still a lot more we could probably talk about with Disney, so we will probably do another one at some point in the future.
Yeah.
But until next time, we will see you guys later, and happy Bye. Birthday.
Happy birthday, whoever you are.
Say it, Matt. Say happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Say it louder. Louder.
Oh my gosh.
I can't hear you.
Or smack.
Robert, I've never heard you.
We'll see you guys later.